Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 166, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 166.
For this morning hour of prayer day will be from the first book of Kings and thereof chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through, throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets were 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Marietta van Hagenbos, who was brought to Calgary once again last night with concerns for the unborn child. Mrs. van Warthuizen is also in the community care beds here in Fort McLeod. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered together in this morning hour before Thee, on a day that is set aside, that we may come before Thee with all the needs and all the wants and all the cares of this life, especially in connection with what lays before us in the seasons that are to come, if Thou wilt spare the world and if Thou wilt spare our life. For in order that we may continue in this world, then it is necessary for us to be upheld by Thee and to be provided for by Thee. For there is not one of us and that is able to take care of ourselves, but we are dependent upon Thee for everything. And Thou, O Lord, art very great. Thou art clothed with majesty. Thou coverest Thyself with light as with a garment. And Thou stretchest forth the heavens like a curtain. Thou dost make the clouds Thy chariot, and Thou ridest upon the wings of the wind, so that there is none like unto Thee, who art the Creator of the whole universe, and of each and every one of us. But Thou art also the upholder of the same, and Thou hast given Thy means of protection. For Thou hast set the mountains firm, and that the waters are not able to pass over. And Thou givest also that sustenance to man and beast upon the earth. For Thou sendest the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills, that they may give to the beast to drink, and the wild ass to quench his thirst. And Thou makest also the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man. Oh, that we also may look upon to Thee, even in the beginning of that season that lies before us, to beseech of Thee, that Thou may bless us undeservedly, that Thou wouldst remember us with our children, that Thou wouldst still watch over and protect and spare and provide for us, as Thou alone art able to do. And Lord, then who is able to say that we deserve this from Thee? For Thou knowest our hearts and our lives and all that they contain, what lives within and what comes forth from us from moment to moment and from day to day. So that it would be no wonder when Thou wouldst turn away Thine ear from us this day, and when Thou wouldst refuse to give unto us the subject of our cry. O Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou may look upon us in and through Thine only begotten Son, in whom Thou art well pleased, that there could yet still be a blessing in all our undeservedness, and that there still could yet be provision for those who have rebelled against Thee and who have from our own side no desire and for the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, then we must be given that place of true humiliation by thee. And we ask that then of thee in the first place, that thou would bow us, our hearts before thee, that we may come in the dust of self-abasement, and that we may be given open eyes to see our sin in thy sight, and that we may be given a true sorrow therefore and a true repentance, and that we may be brought to turn again unto thee. Wilt thou then work that true regeneration and that true heartfelt sorrow, that we may receive of thee the blessings, not out of thy left hand to testify against us eternally, but may it be out of thy right hand, that it may be not only in thy allowance, but that it may be also in thy favor. Oh, that thou may bless us indeed with heavenly and spiritual blessings out of thy heavenly store, and to open the storehouses of the greater Joseph, which are full, and which have been filled by him himself, by his wisdom and by his works. And so he is able to fill those that are needy. Oh, make us so then in our hearts, that we may not hunger alone in the time that is before us, after all that is necessary for this life, but that we may be given to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, that we might be filled, and that we may receive that spiritual meat and drink that we cannot miss upon our journey to that great eternity. Oh, that thou may look upon us then in the time to come, to give thy word free course among us and amongst our children. Wilt thou look upon all that are afflicted and sick? Thou knowest there are those who have concerns for their loved ones, parents, fathers, mothers, that are lying so near unto the grave. Lord, that thou may remember them in the time that is come upon them, because there is no man that can continue here upon this world, and because the wages of sin is death. But, O Lord, thou sayest that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, that they may be given also to experience something of that gift, even while it is a day of grace, and that thou may give a little light in the darkness. And when that awful eternity approaches, oh, that thou may give a cry to thee, that may come into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and that thou wouldst hear the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, prepare each and every one of us for that day that is so surely and quickly coming for our life that is but a shadow, and it is quickly passing away. Give us then understanding hearts in all the callings that are coming unto us and our children. Look upon those that are afflicted. Remember those, remember her that was brought to the hospital here. Lord, that thou may look upon her in all the pain of her body. Thou knowest what she suffers from day to day. Wilt thou give a solution, and wilt thou uphold her from above, and her husband together in all their afflictions? And may it be, that thou would visit them together in the need of their soul. Lord, that thou may remember all that care for them, their families day by day, and all that are in the hospitals now to care for the afflicted and the sick. her also that is great with child. Lord, thou knowest all the concerns. Wilt thou make it well as thou alone art able? And wilt thou provide in all this need? And wilt thou give that the time may come, that as she may be delivered of a well-born child? Lord, that thou may remember all our children and our youth also in this day, when we are gathered around thy word, and they are here to gather also with us in thy house. O, we beseech thee for a little simplicity. We beseech thee for a message, and that thou may give unto us the words to speak, and unto each one of us the ears to hear, and that thou wouldst do as pleaseth thee. Wilt thou remember all thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world? And wilt thou increase their number? And wilt thou help them in the preaching of thy word? Also in our community here this day, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 296, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land, fertile fields and verdant dress, God converts to desert sand, and for that they who dwell therein turn to wickedness and sin. There's only one collection bag today for the Calvin Christian School, unless otherwise noted. Psalter 296, 1, 2, and 5. congregation, James has written that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he has therewith given unto us an example. He said that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. That was something. He prayed, children, that it might not rain. We did not do that this morning. But that was the request of a God's servant. We would say that is a strange prayer. And yet, we can read that it pleased the Lord to answer that prayer. Because we read that it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then we read that he prayed again, and that the Lord sent rain, and he gave the food once again to grow. Thus, prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and that is a very significant thing. That is not something that is just to be set, as it were, by the wayside. And thus also in this morning hour we are called to pray. And that is in a special way for the needs that are in this life, in the season that lies before us. But how is it in our heart? And in what way do we approach unto the Lord to ask for these most necessary blessings? With the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning hour from the words of our text, which can be found in 1 Kings 18, which was read to you. 1 Kings 18, the first part of the 24th verse. 24th verse, the first part. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. So far, the words of our text. Prayer day upon Mount Carmel. First, an altar to Baal. And call ye on the name of your gods. Second, an altar to the Lord. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And third, a required decision. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Prayer day upon Mount Carmel, first an altar to Baal, second an altar to the Lord, and third a required decision. Who, congregation, is responsible for giving rain upon the earth? That is God himself. That is why we read here that the Lord, he says to Elijah, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Thus God is in control of our weather. and the sun and the moon and the stars and that whole universe? Thus, how do we speak about the weather? Do we say it is too hot? Do we say that it is too cold? Do we say that it is too dry? Do we say that it is too wet? Let us never complain about the weather. But let us have a prayer day unto Him who is controlling that weather, that He may provide for us all of our needs. We read, there was a sore famine in Samaria. That was because of the withholding of that rain. And why? Because of the sin of that people. Would that be a wonder then, if the Lord withheld the rain from us in the season that lies before us? Would that really be a wonder? How would that be if it were to say in the news in the coming months, when we come to the summertime, that there is a sore famine in Alberta, that there is a sore famine in Canada, that there is a sore famine in North America? Would that really be a wonder? Ahab blames Elijah. He says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? That is common. We can read how that the Romans in their persecuting of the Christians have blamed them for everything that has come against them by the hand of the Lord. But we read here that Elijah, he puts that blame in the place where that blame belongs. He says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Thus thou, and then in a special way, Ahab. Why Ahab? Because Ahab was the king. Because Ahab was the leader of that people. But Ahab, he was such a weak man. And especially as Ahab was under the instigation of his wife, Jezebel. And under her instigation, that he is permitting the worship of all of her idol gods, which she has brought with her from her youth. You would have thought that that famine that would have humbled Ahab, because he knew it was from the Lord, because he blamed Elijah, the servant of the Lord. Yes, Ahab, is it not then evident that the Lord is God? Is it not evident that He is stronger than all those idol gods of your wife? But Ahab is not humbled. No, Ahab, he is only made to be more arrogant. That is against the Lord. That is also against the servants of the Lord. Thus, those afflictions, they do not humble a man. Those afflictions, they make a man in his natural state only to raise his fist to heaven and to fight against God. Every affliction, every calling that comes against a hard heart, and hard as that nether millstone. And if the Lord brings it not inside, then it does not humble, it does not make contrite, it does not break the heart of a man. In a rage, Jezebel, she slays all the prophets of the Lord. She will do away with it. Who are you going to marry, young people? Where are you looking? Because two religions on one pillow does not work. Do you see how weak a man is? Because that which is living in the heart of this world, that is living in our hearts, then we need to marry one who may be brought up with us, that may be brought up like us, one that may believe the same as us. That is, that may believe that the Lord, He is the God. And yet we read here that the Lord says that He is going to send rain upon the earth. Is that not a wonder? Because He does not keep His anger forever. There is also a remnant in Israel. And that is a remnant that is suffering under a burden. They are suffering under Jezebel. They are suffering under Ahab. And they are suffering also now the chastisements of the Lord. One with the wickedness of that people, God's children also brought in that same calamity for the sins of that nation. But grieved. Obadiah, hiding 100 of the prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave, feeding them with bread and water at the peril of his own life. And we can read later, the Lord, He has reserved 7,000 who had not bowed their knees to Baal. Oh, still a remnant in Israel. And the Lord does not forget them. The Lord does not forget His own children who are groaning under all of those burdens. He says, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And then, congregation, you know the history. We cannot go through all the history. Children, we have heard it read, and you have heard it also in school, at home. But Elijah, he challenges Ahab, who that true God is. And they go to Carmel with many of Israel and with those 450 prophets of Baal. And then Elijah, he puts that challenge before them. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. That is now the challenge. What is the sin of Israel? That is not that they have left the Lord altogether, but it is that Israel would do a double service. They want to serve the Lord, and they want to serve the idols. They want to do both. You know what that is called, young people, children? That is called polytheism. Theo, that is God. Poly, that means many. So polytheism, that is to worship many gods, and that is what Jezebel did. That is what the heathens did. They said that there is a god for the thunder and the lightning, and there is a god for giving the rain, and there is a god for something else. That is polytheism. And so the idea then was that God, well, he is just one of those gods. So they have not rejected him completely, no, but they will try to serve God along with all of the other idols of the nations of that time. And then Elijah, he says, "How long halt ye?" And that word means to limp. That means, he says, that you are limping. You go limping back and forth between the one God and the other God. That is, of course, the way of that polytheism, but it is not possible to include God with all those idols. Why not? Because the Lord, he is jealous. We read that every Sunday, do we not? That the Lord says, "I am a jealous God." That means, he says, "I am jealous of my honor. And my honor I will not give unto another. And there is only one way that you may worship me, and that is that I am worshipped all by myself." So the Lord Jesus says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Thus Elijah, he says to that people, "You must now make a choice. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, well, then he is God. Then you must forsake the Lord altogether, and you must follow Baal." Congregation, how is it with us? Because that question comes to us in this morning hour. How long halt ye between two opinions? Because we come here in this morning to ask the Lord for something. We all agree in this. When we come here, then we are going to ask the Lord. We're going to ask him for what he gives, what he alone is able to give, that rain from the skies, that sunshine, and to make the grass to grow and the plants to grow, that we may eat and that we may drink and that we may live, that belongs unto the Lord. Yes. But what about the rest of our life? Is that also devoted to him? Or the rest of the week? Then do we desire to serve our other gods? That is, the gods of this world and the idols that we have set up for ourselves that this world is serving. How is that, young people? Thus, does God's word speak also to us in this morning? That we are halting. That we have not chosen one God. But that we want not just to leave God altogether. No, but we will include him along with our service in this world. So that we are going limping, that we are going halting between these two opinions. What are those idols that are now living within our hearts? When Elijah asked this question, then do you know what we read? We read that the people answered him not a word. How is it in our heart? when the Lord asks us this question this morning. How long halt ye between two opinions? Is it that we have nothing to say? Because that people, they could not justify what they were doing. But on the other hand, they also did not want to confess what they were doing wrong. Of course, there are some, they agree with that king in the worship of Baal, but they do not dare to answer the prophet of the Lord because of what is living in their conscience. There are others, they agree with the prophet of the Lord, but they fear the king and they fear the wrath of the wife of that king. Then there are others, they just go limping along for the outward peace, that there would be caused no trouble. And they answered him not a word. The people, they cannot decide. Elijah will help them. He proposes, we make two altars. You know the history. The God who answers by fire, let him be God. Baal, do you know what he was, children? He was the god of the thunder and of the lightning. Thus, there is that special test, as it were, that the prophet of the Lord will test the prophets of Baal. Your God, who you say is the God of the lightning, who is the God of the fire. Let him then answer by fire if there is something that Baal should be able to do. Then it should be that he should be able to answer by fire. Prophets of Baal are many. You may go first. An altar, wood, bullock, no fire. O Baal, hear us all morning. All morning. What do we read? From morning until noon. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. Do they give up? Not so soon. Put us to shame, maybe. How soon do we give up? Prophets of Baal, they cried all morning long. And then their hope, well, that diminishes more and more. And that hope that is soon turned into a despair. And we see them, they begin to do some odd things. They begin to leap upon that altar we read. They begin to dance about their gods. And Elijah, he begins to mock them. And it came to pass that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. O idol worship, that is so absurd. Idol worship that needs to be presented in its true light. Idol worship that needs to be presented in all of its foolishness. And that is now the light that the Lord is presenting all our idol worship. When we are worshiping all that we worship in this world, when we are worshiping that knowledge of science that we may gain in this world, when we may worship all of the inventions that come out of our own hearts, and when we may begin to put our trust in them, in a double service. But the Lord says now, in the day of your trouble, cry unto your gods. Cry unto your technology. Cry unto your physicians. Cry unto your scientists. Ask them today to make all that grow that needs to grow in the season that lies before them. Ask them that. And when the Lord stops the heavens so that there is not a drop of rain, then begin to cry unto your gods and see if you receive an answer. And when they do not answer, and then he says, cry aloud, because maybe he is sleeping. Or when the Lord will send a pestilence, and when there are no medications, and when there is no wisdom left, all the fears that are living in the heart of man because man is not able to provide, that the Lord is mocking with us and with our idol gods, wherein we have placed our trust. Cry aloud, because maybe he is just on a journey. But man, he is so mad after his idols that even that mockery that does not make him ashamed. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. But there cannot come an answer. You know why, children, right? Those gods, they have no ears to hear those cries. Those gods, they have no power to save that people that are in distress. And Elijah, he lets them cry all day long until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Until their voices, they are hoarse with crying. And finally, in the evening, Elijah, he says, come near now. Come near. That is our second thought. The altar of the Lord. And what do we read? Elijah, he said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That was not a new worship, that he will set up a new worship in Israel. No, he goes back to that altar of the Lord that was standing there. No, it was not standing anymore. That altar of the Lord that was broken down. And he will take that altar, and he will restore that altar again, that he may bring that people back unto those first works. We read that he takes 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. 12 stones. Know that, children, that will have a meaning, right? 12 of them according to the sons of Jacob, the tribes of Israel. But Ahab, he is the king of whom? He is the king of the Israelites. How many tribes are there? Well, you say there are 10 tribes. That's right. But Elijah, he takes 12 stones. 12. Not 10. 12. Why does he take 12 stones? Because he says unto the people of Israel, you are now separated from the other two tribes. He says, but that ought not to be. No, he says, you ought to be one. And in a special way, then he is pointing those 10 tribes unto that worship which they have left, that worship which they have forsaken in Jeroboam when he has set up those calves in Dan and in Bethel. Because also the time that Elijah chooses, that is significant. That is, twice we read that it is the time of the evening sacrifice. And the evening sacrifice was taking place where? That was taking place in Jerusalem. Thus, Elijah is pointing that people back again to that truth that they have forsaken, that true worship of the Lord. And they dig a large trench around that altar, wood, bullock, and before he goes further, water. Water. And why water? 12 barrels of water poured over that sacrifice, filling up that trench. Why? Because there will be no man that will accuse Elijah that he has done something that was as it were a trick. No, it will be drenched with water, and it will be very evident what the Lord is going to do. And Elijah, we read, then he comes near. And what does he do? He begins to pray. He does not begin to cry like those other prophets. He does not begin to jump upon that altar. He does not begin to cut himself with knives. That is not necessary. No, he begins to pray. And he lifts up his heart and his voice unto God. And what is in his heart? In his heart there is a grief. There is a grief for the people. That is not just that there is a famine. No. But there is a heartfelt grief living in the heart of God's servant. For a people who have forsaken the Lord, among whom there is but a very small remnant. And then we hear him lift up his cry to God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That was not a prayer for bread. No, what does he ask for? He asks that their heart may be turned back again to him, to his service. Thus he says, this is necessary in the first place. He intercedes for them. He begs for them. To whom? To that covenant God of Israel. That is, unto Jehovah, the God of Jacob. He pleads for them that the Lord may convince them of their sin, that the Lord may open their eyes, and that the Lord may take their heart and turn it back again. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. No, not a prayer for bread, because bread that will testify against that people. But if their heart may be turned, then they may receive that bread, not out of the left hand of the Lord, but they may receive it out of the right hand of the Lord. But let us sing. Psalter 220, 4, 5, and 6. The vineyard, no, thy vineyard no longer thy tender care knows. defenseless the victim and spoil of her foes. O turn, we beseech thee. All glory is thine. Look down in thy mercy and visit thy vine. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 220. Our last thought, a required decision. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. What did Israel need? What did they need, children? We know there was a famine. And for 3.5 years, there was not a drop of rain. And the servant of the Lord, he does not even ask for rain. But instead of asking for rain, he is asking for fire. We read later, the prophet Elisha did the same. He asked for fire. Fire to fall upon whom? Fire to fall upon the captains of 50s with their 50s. And that fire consumed them. Then how righteous would it not have been that Elijah is asking the Lord to send fire to consume this people who have rebelled against the service of the Lord. But Elijah, he does not ask this. He asks for that fire. But he asks for that fire to consume what? He asks for the fire of the Lord to consume that sacrifice that is lying upon that altar. Thus, in this supplication, then he is doing as the Lord Jesus himself. What do we read? He prayed. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he besought the Lord for that fire to consume that sacrifice, and then he beseeches the Lord for a substitute to stand in the breaches for this people. And what do we read? And the fire of the Lord fell. What do you see in that fire? I think there is so much to be seen in that fire. What do you see in that fire, children? Say, in that fire, do you see the existence of God? In that fire, do you see something of the majesty of God? In that fire, can you see something of the knowledge of God? How that he knew everything that was taking place, his servant and all this people. In that fire, do you see something of the power of God? In that fire, do you see something of the justice of God? In that fire, can you see something of the long-suffering of God? And sparing that people? In that fire, can you see something of the grace of God? In consuming that sacrifice, the mercy of God, then there is so much of him that is to be seen in that fire. Indeed, all the people, when they saw it, we read, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." That left a great impression. But eternity will have to tell whether that impression was only a temporary impression or that it was a lasting and a saving impression. But what does Elijah now require? That is our last thought. What does he require of the people? And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." Thus, what does he require? Well, he requires the people that they are now following through on their obligation, that they are now following through on their promise. Why, he has set before them a great decision. He has said to them, if the Lord be God, then follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And he has set before them a great contest. He that answereth by fire, let him be God. And when he has set before them that great contest, then we read that the people, they have agreed to that contest. They have said, it is well spoken. That means, this we will do. Now that decision has been made. So that the people themselves are crying out, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And now what does Elijah say? Well then, there is now something that you have to follow through on. Because he has said, then you must follow him. That means you must follow him only. And what does that mean? That means that the Baal worship that has to be completely exterminated. He says, take those prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. Not one. And they took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Thus, congregation, prayer day. What do we need? You say we need rain. Yes. We need sunshine. Yes. We need bread. Yes. That is why we are together. That is why we pray, boys and girls, unto the Lord. But, now I'd like to ask you that question in your heart. In your heart in this hour. Do you not feel something of a conflict? Do you not feel something of a hypocrisy within your heart? Do we follow the Lord only? Or do we follow him along with all our other gods, our idols? What does the Lord say to us? If I really am God, if you really desire those blessings of me, then you must follow me. You say, yes, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Well, then where are those prophets of Baal? Where are those prophets of Baal in our own life? Because they must now be taken. And those prophets of Baal must be slain. Because we cannot serve the Lord and our idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything beside the Lord wherein we place our trust, wherein we place our confidence. Thus, there is a difference from the one to the other. But there are so many idols that we have, idols within ourselves, our own wisdom, our own strength wherein we trust, idols within one another, idols in the midst of this world. We have mentioned just a few of them. But those idols are so many. It is a polytheism. And then we have also our formal worship of the Lord. But the Lord now says, you must take those idols, you must take those prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. That means that we have to search for them. We have to look for them. And where are they found? They're found, boys and girls, we don't have to look so far away. We have to look within our own heart for the prophets of Baal, for the idols. Did you ever search your heart to see wherein is it now that I really put my trust? Trust, what is trust? That is to believe in the ability. That is to believe in the reliability. That is to put my weight upon it. That is to lean upon it. To trust in it. The prophets of Baal, outside of true conversion, really there cannot be any trust in God. Why not? Because trust that is an aspect of true faith, knowledge, assent, and trust. Thus, actually this halting between two opinions is actually part of that warfare that is even within the church of God, in their heart. Do you ever feel it, people of the Lord? Does it not grieve your heart? Because God's children also must use the means, as we all must use the means, but those means so quickly becoming the objects of our trust. Oh, it was such a matter of trust when David, he went forth to meet Goliath with a sling, 5 stones. That was such a matter of trust. But that is not what it means to follow the Lord only. If the Lord be God, then follow Him. Jonathan, the Philistines, they are many, we are few. He says it makes no difference to the Lord to save by many or by few. What happened to the means? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. That is not what it means. As we read, if the Lord be God, follow Him. The spies said there are giants. Are giants. Caleb and Joshua said, the Lord will give us the land. That is not what it means. If the Lord be God, to follow Him, is that not a blessed life? Because that is a true prayer day. Take then those prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape, that they may be slain, every one of them. If the Lord be God, follow Him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot follow Thee. Thou knowest our idols. Thou knowest the prophets of Baal, in whom we so quickly place all our trust. Oh, such unbelieving hearts. And then we ask of Thee rain from the skies, sunshine, food, and drink. O Lord, take the hypocrisy out of our hearts. Give us to know that Thou alone art God, and give us that true saving faith in all things to follow Thee. Bring us safely home. Keep us this day, young and old. Give true prayer in our heart. Bring us with desire in Thy house again in this evening hour. Help us one more time to bring Thy word, be in the midst, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 393. Oh, happy land, whose sons in youth, in sturdy strength and noble truth, like plants in vigor spring, whose daughters fair, a queenly race, are like the cornerstones that grace the palace of a king, the palace of a king. 393 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Praise Him, all creatures.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.